I do know this. Turn to Matthew 16. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? What we're going to talk about. But this is going to come up with a homework assignment. Y'all got something to do today or this week, okay? We're going to read 16:26 for the purpose of the day. When y'all get there, I will read it. I already did, but that's right. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? We can kind of talk about that. Your homework assignment is, I want you to back up to verse 21 and read the end of the chapter down there. There's a lot of stuff in there. And we may talk about this. Anyway, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. We talk about that a lot and what that really means, picking up your cross. But today we're going to focus on Matthew 16:26. So pick up your cross and stuff. So what is your relationship with Christ today? What's it look like? What have you done to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Christ? That's your homework assignment. So it kind of leads into the question that Jesus asked, rhetorical question. And he said, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? It said one of the most important questions ever asked was not by a king, a philosopher, or a scholar. It was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ died on that cross, came down here to die on the cross for us. And while he was here, and so he went through and suffered anything that you and I may ever go through. He knows what you're going through. As we just prayed over Kelly, my son, there's a lot of stuff going on right now with different families all around. But the one constant in the middle of all that is Jesus Christ himself. That's who you need to hang on to, no matter what the situation is. So I'm having to literally practice what I preach here lately. And it's hard sometimes. But we got to listen to what he has to tell us. What is it worth to lose what matters the most? You know, we live in a world where we like profit. You know, we're business, investors, students like to get degrees. I mean, we got all this stuff that we want to accumulate, all this stuff. And I'm going to get down into it here in a little bit where stuff is okay in itself as long as you ain't forfeiting the most precious thing you have, and that's your soul. Because you can believe it or not, it don't matter. If you don't believe it, it don't make it not true, okay? Everybody, each and every one of us, have a soul. And that soul is going to go to eternity, one way or the other. If you forfeit it, it's going to burn eternity in hell. Death. However you want to word it. A bad place. So you got a choice to make. Instead of, the decision should be simple. We simplify it a little bit. Because it's not anything in between. It's either you're going to hell or you're not. So that question we already established. What choice are you going to make? I don't know about you. I don't like summertime. And that's a bad comparison. It don't compare to hell. There's no way to humanly concept how much torture. All we got is the word of God telling us it's a bad place. Separation from God. And we want to. So while we're going through life, we're accumulating things, we're working, we're retiring, we're education, whatever. We do all that. That's life. That's what we put here to do things. But don't lose focus on your soul that we established. Like I said, we know one way or other your soul is going to eternity. So we need to focus on that. Jesus asks us to consider a different way to look at it. He challenges us to look beyond temporary gains and evaluate our eternity. So we're going to talk about three things today. The possibility of gaining the world, the tragedy of losing the soul and the incomparable value of the soul. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to break that down. So the possibility of gaining the world. Jesus, his hypothetical question, if he shall gain the whole world. You ever wonder why he put it that way? Is it possible to gain the whole world? Probably not. Okay? But what he's saying is, if you could, the best possible thing you could do human-wise, earthly-wise, flesh-wise, is gain the whole world. Just say you gained the whole world. You had it all. Whatever that looks like. Yeah, you're going to leave it here. That's what Jesus, he put that because there's no wiggle room. He's saying even if you get everything you can possibly get on this earth, it ain't worth losing your soul. It's not worth losing your soul, and he's going to talk about that. Jesus doesn't deny that people can gain stuff in life. Some gain wealth, some gain power, some gain popularity. Some gain influence. Some gain success beyond imagination. He didn't say you couldn't do that. But get your priorities right. Get your heart right. Follow Christ. Make that choice. And then let the rest of it. Also in Matthew he says, seek ye the kingdom of God. I'm stumbling over it, sorry. And then all the other stuff will fall into place. I'm paraphrasing. So we need to remember that. Jesus is using that statement as a language to describe the maximum possibilities. So imagine if you gain luxury, every accomplishment, every possession, every honor, every pleasure, every opportunity. Imagine you have all that. But Jesus said, let's assume you do get all that. The question is not whether success is wrong. Money itself is not evil. Influence in itself is not evil. Achievement is not evil in itself. The problem arises when these things become more important than God. That's where the problem. So we need to get our mind shifted on our priorities. Y'all heard, we say that a lot, but we really need to focus on that. So I've been in Lubbock a lot this week, a lot of windshield time, a lot of thinking, praying. And I was thinking about this. God had this on my heart. And while I put it together, it's easy to say, I put God first. But ask yourself that question, really? Are you really putting God first? And you may be, or you may not. You may need to work in a little area. Need to refocus back on God. When everything's going real good, no problems, rock and roll, you got plenty of money, plenty of food to eat, your health is good. But all that can change. Like Brother Joe says, one phone call can change your life completely. And probably a lot of y'all have at times experienced that. But what we need to drive home is the anchor, the thing that does not change is God himself, Jesus Christ. That's the constant. That's what you can, lack of a better word, hang your hat on. When all this other stuff behind you is falling apart, or all of it's going good, or anything in between, God is still there. The separation comes, or the lack in our minds, is ourself, usually. You still have your faith? Are you still focusing on God? I like to jokingly say, I like the Clint Eastwood theory. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Things are good, things are bad, things are ugly. You're going to go through all those phases one way or the other in your life. But God is still it's the same. We spend A lot of people spend their lives climbing ladders to discover that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. You know people like that? Or you've been in one of those situations? This is what, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. You heard that saying. I feel guilty. This is a whole lot better over this side. Then you get on that side and you wish you could get back to the other side. That, you know, that's the flesh. That's the human nature. The world will tell you that more money will satisfy you. I know some very wealthy people, but they have no joy, no happiness, because they worry about losing their money or trying to get more of it or vice versa, somewhere in there. Remember, you know, all this stuff is okay as long as you got the right perspective. More possessions will fulfill you. I found out the more you got, the more bills you got. Or what about more recognition will complete you? I'll tell you this, the more recognition you get for whatever, that's just a bigger target on your back for the world. And it says, countless testimonies have revealed the opposite of that. Those things we just talked about. And I know people and stories, testimonies where they thought they had it all, but they never was quite satisfied. There was something missing. We'll get into that. Because believe it or not, we are created for more than just material success. God didn't just create us to have stuff. There's a quote from a guy that said, our hearts are restless until we meet God. Build that relationship with God. It's all about relationship. We talk about a lot. First is choice. Make the choice to do that. Then build that relationship as you move forward. The world can offer a lot of things, but it cannot satisfy the deepest hunger of our soul. It cannot. You can try to fill it with anything. And unfortunately, we got a whole society in the world that they try to satisfy it with drugs, money, stuff, whatever. And they just can't seem to get their hold of it. So now let's talk about the tragedy of losing the soul. The tragedy is not failing to gain the world. The tragedy is gaining the world and losing the soul. You can accumulate things. You can have some stuff. You can have nice things. He didn't say you couldn't. But don't lose your soul in the process. Many people fear financial loss. They fear losing their jobs. They fear losing their status. They fear losing possessions, stuff. He didn't say it was going to be easy if you lose that stuff. He didn't promise you that. But what he's saying is, really dig down and find your hope in him. Most of us probably in here can tell a testimony when you had a hit a wall, had a bad time. If you let it, it'll get you closer to God and open your eyes up to things that he was trying to reveal to you. Maybe build your trust on him a little better. Rely on him more. You can lose all that stuff, but Jesus points to a greater loss. A person can recover money. They can rebuild their business. They can regain their influence. But what happens when you lose the soul? I want you to just think about this. Just in our mind, you know, loss on the earth, losing the earthly stuff is temporary stuff. And it could be bad. But could you imagine spending all eternity suffering and separated from God where there's no regaining it back? That's a hard truth, but it is the truth. And we need to get our mind right on that. We need to realize that there ain't no second chances when it happens. When you're gone, however that may be, when you die or when he comes back and get us, what decision you made, that's it. There ain't no do-overs. What do they call it in golf? A mulligan or something? A do-over? I don't play golf, obviously. Our bodies age. A lot of y'all know that. Our possessions fade away. You go buy your $100,000 truck in 5 years, it's a wore out $100,000 truck. I'm not saying you can go buy a truck. You can go buy a truck if you need one. But just for example, just things don't last. Temporary. Our accomplishments are eventually forgotten. Now, I thought about that for a minute. Very few people that live and walk this earth are remembered for a long time. They had to do something, I don't know, in the history books or something. But, and I talked before, you know, you got that tombstone, you got your birth date, and I jokingly say the only one that cares about that is your mama, the day you was born. And then you got your death date. And then what counts is that dash that's in the middle, what you've done between birth and death, that choice you made. That's what's important. But after that, you walk these cemeteries around here locally, don't even know who they were. At some point, none of that's going to matter that you walked this earth for however long. It don't matter. What matters is where you're at it for eternity. That's what we need to bank on. But the soul endures forever. Jesus constantly taught that eternity is real. Life is not, I like this little statement, life is not limited to the years we spend on earth. You know, we talk about living with God forever. You know, we use the forever in a sense of heaven, eternity with him. But it works the other way too. And I know I'm saying that a lot. I know I'm beating it down, but I need to really grasp this. A lot of people don't believe that there's a hell, that you're going to lose your soul. Yeah. Just because you don't believe it, don't mean it ain't true. It don't change the outcome. Unfortunately, there's a lots of people in hell that's surprised they're there. Don't be that statistic. Don't be that one. Here's another thing. Every person will stand before God. Everybody will stand before God. Every person will give an account of their life. The greatest danger is not the physical death, the spiritual separation from God. He can tell you, come on in, my good faithful servant. Or he's going to tell you, he's going to cast you away. I never knew you. The soul, I want you to look at this too. The soul is personal. It's your soul. It's just not, a lot of people think of a soul as like a ghost flying around. It's yours. It's your soul. And it's yours to forfeit if you don't make the choice. No one else can believe for you I don't know how many times I've said this before. Your mama can't do it for you. You got to do it. I don't care how religious your family is. If you don't make that personal choice and that relationship with God, it don't matter. It's a personal, individual. No one else can stand before God in your place except Christ Himself. Make that choice. Your relationship with God is deeply personal. And here's another problem we have as people. We spend enormous energy protecting everything except our soul. It's kind of an afterthought sometimes. We can let it be that way. You can get wrapped up in life, living your life, and don't think twice about your soul. I like this. I always like to use a quote every now and then from Brother Glenn. He had a way of saying things. And I say it in here in a minute, but you know, people insure their homes because we don't want to lose our home. We protect our investments. We secure our retirement plans. But we neglect the condition of the hearts of our soul. We protect everything else, all this temporary stuff we want to take care of. But we forfeit our soul. What did Brother Glenn say? Don't fire insurance. Make sure that you got that fire insurance, that you got that relationship with Christ. That's what he was talking about, was just don't think. God, I have heard it, I don't know about you, maybe just me, but I heard it numerous times over the years. I hope I go to heaven. I hope I make it. I think I will. That's a wrong. First of all, you're already starting out on a bad foot.
Give your soul away now.
Give it now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. If you don't have it. And know. Walk through this life not cocky, but confident. Because Christ did it for you.
Amen.
All you got to do is choose, make the choice. That's what you got to do. He did the hard stuff. He made it possible for us. Had that confidence and walk in Him. And when you go through a bad time, still have that confidence that God's going to be there for you. He's going to take care of you. Jesus is calling us to evaluate our spiritual condition. How healthy is your soul? Are you growing close to God? And we know, we talked a bunch about how you do that. Prayer. About, you know, read the word. Go to church. Go to Sunday school. All this stuff. Are you walking in obedience? Now, you know, after today, then we got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Are you walking in obedience those days too? It includes every day. Every day. If you hadn't accepted Christ, all those questions he asked, have you trusted Christ? If you haven't, like I said, today's the day of salvation, you do that. But if you have, then you start growing towards him. These are the questions that matters most. And I talk about the last thing here. The soul is worth more than the world. Jesus asked, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer is nothing. There is no adequate payment, no substitute, no exchange. No amount of money can purchase a lost soul. Because the soul is priceless. You know, we evaluate things by the cost, you know, a lot of times, you know, how much this is, that is. The most valuable thing you have, priceless thing you got, is your soul. And we spend, and I say we, just generally speaking, as people, flesh, We spend less time concerned about that than we do our possessions. Or worldly possessions, put it that way. So I want you to pay attention to this. Consider how God values the soul. So just that question real quick. The value of something is often measured by the price paid for it. What price was paid for our redemption? You don't put a price on something. Just think what price he paid. He gave his son. That we cannot repay back. And he didn't ask us to. All he says, follow me. Trust in me. Let me take care of you. I did this for you. It's a gift. You know what a gift you don't give back? He gave you something that you can't ever pay for. Ever. But he's not asking for that. He's asking for you to walk with him. That's all he's asking. That's all he wants. The cross reveals the worth God places on human souls. When we look at the crucifixion of Jesus, we see heaven's declaration that souls matter. We're a bunch of dirty rags, and he still loves us that much. He loved us enough to send his son. Christ loved us enough to lay down his life. The world says we value what we own, what we achieve, and what others think of us. The gospel says your value is demonstrated by God's love for you. You know what the gospels are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The gospel is the word of Christ. It's Jesus. That's the gospel. The soul is worth more than every empire, every fortune, every earthly treasure combined. At the cross, a remarkable change occurred. Christ took our sin. Christ bore our judgment. He suffered in our place, and through faith we receive his righteousness. Amen. He did all that. He didn't have to. He wanted to. That's that love he has for us. He paid a price for something that he didn't owe. We did. We inherited the sin nature, but he took that away. We do not save ourselves. We trust in the one who saves. Christianity is ultimately not about human achievement. It's about divine grace. You know what grace is?
Unmerited faith.
Unmerited faith. So the question is not, what have we gained? The question is, do I know Christ? That's the question you need to ask yourself today. Do I know Christ? Not that he's just a figure in the Bible. Do you know Christ? Do you got that relationship with him? Do you talk to him daily? Do you walk with him daily? So here's a little house cleaning we're going to do real quick. While we're thinking about all this, and I'm going to close here shortly. What consumes your thoughts? What drives your decisions? What receives your greatest energy? Our priorities reveal our values. Remember we talked before about being Christ-like, Christ-minded? Walking in. You should carry yourself as... Christ-like? Can't talk. So ask yourself those questions. Is he a second thought, afterthought, or is he on your mind all the time? Is that your priorities? Jesus invites us to place eternal things above temporary things. Notice that. He invites us. What does that mean? You got to make a choice. You're going to accept the invitation?
Amen.
Or are you just going to walk off and don't worry about it? We need to invest in what's last. We need to invest in God's word, God's kingdom, relationships with him, the souls of people. Invest your life, what has eternal significance. Spend time in prayer. Study scripture. Worship faithfully. Walk in obedience. Stay close to Christ. That's just an example. And I close with this. Y'all can go ahead and stand. The musicians come. The wisest person is not the one who gains the most in this life. The wisest person is the one who gains Christ and keeps their soul. For the soul is worth more than the whole world. Whatever your relationship is with Christ today, and I will tell you this too, don't be like Brother Glenn said, don't get just enough where you think you got enough coverage to get to heaven. Fire insurance. It's a continual, lack of better word, policy. Keep investing in it. Get closer to Christ. We can do a song or invitation. If you don't have Christ, today's the day to do it.
Amen.
Do it where you're at, down here, whatever. I'm not particular on that. I don't limit what God can do or where or when. But today's the day of salvation. If you need to pray on these altars, come do it. Whatever you need to do. You just need a little joke to get back in line and follow Christ. Today's the day to do that too. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day and this opportunity to hear your word, Lord. Just open our minds, our hearts to what you have us receive, Lord. And just let us do walk in obedience towards you, Lord. Just give us the confidence that we need and that we know that you are the true anchor of our life. Just thank you again for all the blessings you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.